This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the RPM Subteam for Trademark Claims taking place on the 12th of December 2018 at 1700 UTC. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the telephone bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Hearing no one, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Julie Headland. Please begin.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Joined. I think someone just joined a number beginning with area code 425. Ending in 4330.
Yeah, it's Michael Graham.
Michael Graham. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Then thank you everyone for joining. Again, this is Julie Headland from staff, and certainly appreciate you joining us today. Just to go over our agenda very quickly, and staff will do this as we don't have a subteam leader at the moment, but that is an item on the agenda. The agenda is updates of state to statements of interest, selection of the subteam leader, an introduction to the survey analysis tool, and beginning the survey analysis. And may I ask if there's anybody who has any other business to suggest? And we do note, as noted in the chat, that we will end this call on time or a little bit early so we can start the following call. And George Kirikos, please go ahead.
Yeah, George Kirikos, the transcript. As I noted on the mailing list, a lot of the survey results had major red flags. So during the various working group calls, you know, we said that we would talk about the survey statistical validity. Not on those calls, but in the subteams. So now that we're in the subteams, it's the appropriate venue to discuss those major issues. Thank you.
Thank you, George. I'm not sure that there's necessarily agreement in the subteam on that, but we will go ahead and make a note for any other business. All right, then. May I ask, are there any updates to statements of interest, please? And I am not seeing any hands, so I am going to indicate that there are no updates. So I'm going to go to the next item, which is reflection of the subteam leader. Generally for subteams, we've asked for a volunteer or nomination from the subteam for someone to lead the subteam. So we're going to go ahead and ask that now. Do we have anybody who wishes to volunteer or wishes to nominate someone to be a leader of this subteam? And I'm waiting for hands to go up, and I'm not seeing any. I see a hand up. Kathy, please.
Hi, this is Kathy, and I am not volunteering. But I wanted to provide some additional background to what Julie is saying, and also based on the co-chair's call that we had in preparation for this, that we're hoping that the subteam leads will come not from the co-chairs, but from working group members of the subteam. It worked in the last set of subteams for URS. We had a combination of both co-chairs as well as subteam members. Jason Schaefer was the practitioner subteam chair, and it worked out really well. It's really nice to kind of share the load and share the administration and get new perspectives on both the substance but also in the leadership and the administration and kind of the organization. So if someone has some extra time and would be interested, it can be a lot of fun to be a subteam lead. So let me put in my plug for that, and back to Julie.
Thank you very much, Kathy. And thank you, Cynthia, for your nomination of Griffin or Griffin Barnett, and Griffin also for giving it some thought. And we'll note here that we do not have to make a decision today, and we can take this to the list as well. And Christine Durain, I note that you were saying I did it last time and might be willing to consider it. We'll make a note of that as well, and thank you very much for considering it. Any other nominations or volunteers before we move to the next agenda item? Not seeing any hands up. Let me just ask to confirm that given that we do want to give people time to consider whether or not to be sub-team leaders, and we would like to take this, we can take this to the list. If there are no objections, staff will take the task of running the rest of this call, unless there are any objections. Seeing or hearing none, I'll go ahead and continue. Again, this is Julie Hedlund from staff, and what I'd like to do now is to move on to a tool that staff has created to help the sub-team to analyze the data that was collected from the analysis group surveys. And what I'd like to do at this point is to turn over the meeting to Ariel Liang, who created the tool, and to let her go through it for all of you. Oh, and I see Michael Graham is saying, Christine and Griffin, would you like to tag team chair? And thank you for that suggestion. Michael, we'll make a note of it. And then over to you, Ariel.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Ariel from staff. First, I will put the link to the Google Doc or Google Spreadsheet that's the platform used to create this analysis tool. So I think that probably the easiest that everyone I heard my
Yeah, your audio is breaking up. Can you try again?
Okay.
That's better.
Can you hear me? Okay. I didn't do anything differently. So
okay, well whatever happened, it was good.
Okay, thank you. And now I'm also going to share my screen when walking you through this analysis tool, so I think that will probably be the easiest for you to look at what I'm referring to. Can everyone see my screen?
We can see your screen, Ariel.
Okay, thank you. So the first tab, so basically this is a Google spreadsheet and the information is organized in all different tabs. And the first tab is basically the content table that provides a quick link to all the various tabs within the Google spreadsheet. And if you see the first column, that shows the consolidated information from the survey results for the four surveys, so the actual and potential registrants, the trademark and brand owner survey, and registry and registrar survey. So that's all in column one. So you can quickly jump to the tab that includes the consolidated information there. And then column two contains the separate tabs that include information of the survey results that cannot be reflected in the consolidated table, mainly because of the content is way too detailed, or the way the information is formatted is too difficult to include in the consolidated table. So that's why we have a separate tabs to include these results for you to review. And as I mentioned in the previous working group meeting, this spreadsheet includes all the information the sub-teams need to review the survey results. That includes the final report from analysis group, the key findings analysis group emphasized in the report, the appendix that includes all the detailed responses to every single question, and also the raw data analysis group informed, sent to the working group later on. So that's why you don't need to flip back and forth between all the documents to see the survey results, and you can see everything in the spreadsheet. And now I will show one example for the consolidated table. So this is the table that includes the survey results of the actual and potential registrant survey. And this table has several columns, so I will provide a brief explanation. Column A, the first one, is the column that contains the agreed questions that are developed based on the refined charter question. So we understand that the subteams, one of the subteams' tasks is to see how the survey answered the refined charter question. So we want to make sure these questions are reflected in this table so you can reference that. And so I just scrolled a little bit down to the spreadsheet, and you can see the refined charter question or the agreed questions are right here from row 11 and down. And then column B is the actual survey question from analysis group. And I want to the caveat is that we didn't include, for example, the logic of the question just to make sure this table is not too much detail and you cannot even read the question. So we basically just copy-paste the question over, but we didn't put like logic. For example, if you answer no to question one, then you go to Q2. These are included in the final report, but we didn't include those details here. And we're hoping the structure of the table is the kind of self-explanatory, and you can clearly see the logic, how people answer the question. And we also have some color coding here because some questions are asked to both actual and potential registrants, and some questions are kind of related, so we want to merge these related questions or similar questions in one cell, and that's why we have these color coding of the question number. So the red ones are for actual registrants, the blue ones are for the potential registrants, the purple ones are asked to both actual and potential registrants, and that's why we have the color coding here. And then column C is the subteam's draft question. So that's from the data subteam. They worked for months to develop the draft questions as a guidance for analysis group to develop the survey. And these questions were originally contained in the data request table as appendix to the RFP. And we also grabbed these questions over and put in the spreadsheet and try to match to the actual survey question. So you can see these are the subteams, data subteams, the draft question, and then these are the final question, and see whether there's any discrepancy there or how it developed. So this is another reference point we want to include in this table. And then column D is the responses from actual registrants. And then column E is the responses from potential registrants. And we have included all the details here. And if you scroll down the spreadsheet, you may see some of the cells that are colored in green. That means there's too much detail in the response and cannot be reflected in this consolidated table. That's why we ask you to reference the separate tabs that include the details to that particular question. So if you look at the example I'm highlighting right now, it's the tab registrant Q5, and then you just look at the title of the tab and you can see this is the actual responses to that question, and a lot of details here that we didn't include in that consolidated table. And then column S is the findings from analysis group. That's basically what they highlighted in their final report, and we basically copy-paste the text over, and so you can see all the information in this one table. I will quickly, I will stop now for a moment in case there's some questions or comments. And I haven't got a chance to look at the chat yet, so please feel free to ask the question directly. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ariel. And I'm just noting that there is a question in the chat. Griffin Barnett asks, I wonder if it would be a useful exercise to try and tie the survey information to the trademark claims charter questions that were asked, that we were tasked with answering. Cynthia Thing says plus one, King says plus one, Griffin, and Mary Wong says, Griffin, yes, that is the intention and why staff prepared this table. And I see that Mary also has her hand up. Mary Wong, please go ahead, and then I'll also recognize George Kirikos. Mary, please.
Thanks, Julie, and thanks, Ariel. Actually, I was going to pretty much repeat what I said in the Adobe, but I guess no harm saying it for the record, because this does tie back to the agreed charter questions that were refined and discussed by the working group. And in addition, because of the breadth of the surveys, once that is done, that you may find that there is information in here that could be relevant to other charter questions. So the way the staff sees this happening is, you know, the first imminent task is to really just go through the survey results. Secondly, with a mind towards how and if those survey results answer the agreed questions, which is, I forget what column A. And then sort of thirdly, to the extent that there's also additional information that could be helpful to other agreed questions. So I hope that's clear. Thanks, Julie. Thanks, everyone.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. I appreciate that. And George Kirikos, please.
Yeah, my question, George Kirikos, the transcript. My question relates to the registrant-Q5 tab. I don't know if Ariel planned to go to the different tabs of the spreadsheet later, but I can defer my question till later if she planned to go through them, or I can ask that now.
I think we can go ahead and address that question now. Yeah. Ariel?
This is Ariel. I guess it's best just to hear George's question, and because I don't plan to go through each tab because that's basically the raw data we got from analysis group, and put the raw data in this these separate tabs for the detailed responses. So George, what's your question?
Yeah, if you look at the actual question at the top, it says, if you recall, which utilities did you register your domain name in? Not the exact domain name, but just the top-level domain name which you registered it, example.club, ninja, xyz, love. And then importantly, it says legacy TLDs, example.com.org, and ccTLDs, example.us.eu.cn are not being considered. So people were not supposed to be referring to .com, .org, and ccTLDs. But if you actually look at the response, like if you scroll down in the spreadsheet, for example, row 39, they talk about .com. Row 40, they talk about com, .za.org. 41, .com, .ca, .net. These are all ones that were not supposed to be put into the survey. And so these people are obviously doing the survey when they should not have been doing so. So I don't know whether analysis group or ICANN staff have filtered the results accordingly, but these were responses that should not have appeared in the data. So I'm just pointing out that serious problem, which adds to the problems that I pointed out on the mailing list. Thank you.
So thank you for that, George. The data that we have here is the data that was obtained by analysis group, but I would like to ask, please, that we not get into the substance of the data at this point. This agenda item is to show how the tool can be used by the subteam, not to get into the data that's been collected and the analysis of the data. So I'd ask that we not do that at this point. And Christine Durain, I see you have your hand up, please.
Thanks. Christine Durain for the transcript. I want to think a little bit about sort of how we got here. I think ultimately, if we remember our goal is to answer the charter questions. However we do that, whatever mechanism we use to do that. As the chair of the drafting team that led to this survey, I was part of that question devising process, and it was never the intention that the survey be some sort of end-all, be-all decision-making tool. It was meant to feed into the analysis because we just didn't know what people thought, and we were starting with kind of a really weird list of questions that we had to work from. So I would like to propose, regardless of how we end up leading or running this group, I would like to propose that we consider every question and every discussion we have in the context of answering the charter questions in column A. We might use the survey data to do that. We might springboard off the survey data and draw some other analogies or drag in some different community perspectives. There's several people on the call representing pretty much, as far as I can tell, most aspects of the community. To the extent that we like the survey data and we think it's verifiable and we think that it makes sense with what we know to be true about the industry, I think we can rely on that. I said, but I don't vote that we as a group get super bogged down in microanalyzing the data. It is what it is. It might suck. It might not. But I would like to ask that we spend this working group time focusing on column A and how we get to the answers in column A, and everything else will flow from there. Thanks. That's just a little historical context and my way to kind of introduce everything, I think. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Christine. And this is Julie Hedlund again, staff. So I am seeing that we've got support from Kathy, Griffin, and Cynthia for that approach to focus on column A and getting the answers to the questions as opposed to adjudicating the data itself. And I see Sarah Bakke is agreeing with that as well. And let me ask if there are any questions about how to use this tool, how the tool is set up, just any questions about the tool itself as opposed to the data or the questions or the content of the tool. And Ariel, let me turn things back to you, too, in case there's anything else that you had wanted to cover. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Sarah Lam for the record. I forgot to mention one thing is that if you look at the table, there's some dividers in the table. So if you look at my screen now, on the actual potential registrant tab, row 10 says trademark claim. So the questions below that line, they are related to trademark claims. And then if you look at the TM and brand owners survey table, and you can see there's some more dividers. So the first section of the questions is introductory questions, and then after that is the summarized period participation related questions. And if you keep scrolling down, you see the summarized period length. And so there have some indicators more dividers in the table to help you go through the table quickly and find information you need to answer the charter questions. And the way it's divided is consistent with how the survey is actually divided, and there's actually subtitles within the survey saying these questions are related to trademark claims, for example. So we're reflecting that structure in this survey analysis tool here. So that's just the one more thing I want to add here.
Well, thank you very much, Ariel. And I did hear a couple of things of people possibly joining. We have a couple new numbers here, just so that we can get these on the record. I have a 917 area code followed by ending in 8208. Could you announce yourself, please?
Hey, Julie, it's Claudia. I'm sorry, I got dropped off and I just dialed back in.
That's quite all right. And then we also have a 703 area code ending in 6759.
Rebecca Tushnet, the first few numbers did not work for me, as it turns out.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. We'll make a note of that. Thank you so much for joining. And Kathy, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kathy. And Julie, this may be something later, but I don't see it on the agenda, so I thought I'd raise it. Well, we have a moment as we're doing this umbrella to look at, I think it's another document So we're drilling down into the analysis group survey results and this amazing tool that Ariel has created. But also, I believe there's a list of other relevant data that staff has put together of other data that has been gathered along the way on trademark claims. I was wondering if that's going to be posted at any time during this meeting.
Kathy, this is Julie Hedlund again. I put myself in queue. According to the timeline that we ran through with the working group last week, there is indeed time allotted in several meetings, I think two meetings, following the meetings where we conduct the analysis of the survey data against the charter questions, that will look at other data that's been collected. So indeed, the trademark subteam will be looking at the list of other data and then making the analysis of those data against also the overall questions, not just the questions in the survey, but all of the questions. So the plan agreed by the working group is to start with the survey analysis, which we're doing for the next three meetings, this meeting and two following, and then we will go to the other data collected.
Okay, thanks. I might suggest that schedule may be subject to the subteams, you know, how the subteam wants to look at the data. But that the suggestion is that there's lots of data out there, and this is one huge tool, but that there's other data that trademark claims collected over a year ago, or that we collected to help answer the trademark claims questions. Thanks.
Kathy? And I'm not seeing any other hands up. I'm not seeing any other questions with respect to Ariel's review of the tool. Ariel, was there anything else that you wanted to add? Otherwise, we'll move on to diving into the analysis.
And this is Ariel. Thanks, Julie. Nothing else to add. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Then moving into the next item, which is the survey analysis, I'm wondering if it would be helpful, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, Ariel, but did you want to help direct us to the first of the questions relating to the trademark claims? Where we can begin our analysis, or I'm just wondering whether or not we want to try to do this with it, with you still having it on the screen, or if it would be useful for us to try to follow along in the Google Docs.
This is Ariel. So I think it's okay, and if the subteam agrees, perhaps I can read out the charter questions basically in column A, and then in terms of the review of the answers and how they answer the charter question, I'm not sure whether it's really needed for staff to read out it because it's already in the Google Doc. So I think subteam members can just read it and then see how useful this information is. So maybe we can start in this way. Julie and Mary, do you have? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that's. I think unless I see any disagreement from the subteam, that seems like an excellent suggestion. Let me go ahead and post the link to the tool again. And hang on. Let me do that. And just so that everybody has it right up front. And for some reason, I can't do that. Hold on. I don't know why it's not cooperating for me. But let me go, or I see Ariel is here. There, thank you very much, Ariel. So you'll see the link there. And then let me go ahead and ask you to read the questions, and I'm gonna ask, let's tell everybody where we are in the Google tool so that everybody can go to that spot. And then we'll go ahead and look at the responses ourselves. And of course, if anybody has suggestions for another way to do things, please do let us know.
Ariel, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Julie. This is Ariel for the record. So now I'm on the second tab titled Actual and Potential Registrants, and I think we'll probably just go through the tab one by one. And I'm looking at column A, which includes the original refined charter questions. So I'll just read out these questions. The first one is the trademark claims service having any unintended consequences, such as deterring good faith domain name applications? Is the trademark claims service having its intended effect? Is the trademark claims service having its intended effects of deterring bad faith registrations and providing claims notice to domain name applicants? Does the trademark claims notice to domain name applicants meet its intended purpose? If not, is it intimidating, hard to understand, or otherwise inadequate? If inadequate, how can it be improved? Does it inform domain name applicants of the scope and limitations of trademark holders' rights? If not, how can it be improved? Are translations of the trademark claims notice effective in informing domain name applicants of the scope and limitation of trademark holders' rights? And the last one is, should claims notifications only be sent to registrants who complete domain name registrations as opposed to those who are attempting to register domain names that are matches to entries in the TMCH? So when we organize the table, we basically be consistent with the structure of the data request table. So all the charter questions are related to all the sub-team structure questions. That's why you see this column A is kind of one big cell, and then all the questions are kind of matched to it because they provide response partially to all these questions. That's why there's no further kind of divide of these charter questions. So I will stop now, and sub-team can review the responses next to the charter question.
Oh, thank you very much, Ariel. So then, again, as now that we've looked at the charter questions, then you'll see that there's the column of the actual survey question, sub-team's draft question, and then we have the actual registrant response, the potential registrant response, and then the findings from analysis group. So, there's quite a bit of material there. So let me just pause there first and see if there are any questions, with respect to how we're proceeding. Let me see if any of the sub-team members wishes to, enter into, provide any thoughts, based on what we're seeing here. And maybe everybody is just reading, which is possible.
Hi, this is Rebecca Teschnick. Can I get on the queue?
Absolutely. You are first in queue. Please go ahead, Rebecca.
So I just wanted to make sure that we put a discussion point on something that I put in the question to the analysis group, which is, based on the results here, it does seem pretty clear that only half of the people who were not already involved with ICANN in some way or the other answered the question about the meaning of the of the notice correctly, and as a result, I want to look into sort of best practices for informing consumers, rewriting the notice to see if we can do better than half. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Rebecca. Yes, and I'm just looking at the chat here, too. Yes, it is a lot of data to go through, and noting George's panel response. And let me just note, I'm just taking note of your comment, Rebecca, with respect to the claims notice and effectiveness. Okay. Thank you. So Michael Graham is saying I prefer to take away the tool and provide comments at the next call. I'm wondering if that indeed is more helpful way to do this at this point. And I see we have a couple of hands up. So I saw Sarah Bakke's hand, but now it seems to have disappeared. I have George Kirikos, please.
Yeah, George Kirikos, so transcript. Well, if we look at the first question, the charter question says, is a trademark claim service having any unintended consequences, such as deterring good faith demeaning applications? So if we look at this data, if we scroll down to row number 14, these are people who did not continue the registration. We actually have people saying, I did not understand the notice, but it worried me. So that obviously shows that it had a chilling effect. I understood the notice and it worried me. So there were people that didn't understand the notice, and also that did understand the notice, but regardless, it worried them. So that means we can answer the charter question, in the affirmative. Yeah, it is deterring good faith demeaning applications, period. Although I've obviously been very critical of the survey results, so these results, if you're going to read them as it is, which some people want to do, then the answer to that question is yes. Thank you.
Thank you, George. And Christine Durain, please.
Thanks, Mrs. Christine. I guess to George's point, I think the charter question that this would be most focused on is the claims notice. So if you scroll down, this was my takeaway to Ariel or Julie or whoever put this chart together. When we go with the egregiums, it might be necessary to number them so that when we refer to them, we can answer them. So the first question was meant to be an overarching question about the entire trademark claims service. And whether or not the fact that even having a service deters good faith domain name applications. And I think there's a background question there, which is basically how much deterrence is acceptable, because certainly in any sort of rule, someone's going to get caught in the crosshairs. Certainly we know that brand owners are still having domain names or brand domain names are registered. So there's no way to sort of prevent all brand abuse, but there's also no way to sort of ensure that every single person is not going to feel like frustrated or overwhelmed or not understand the notice. But the point I guess I'm trying to get at is that asterisk number 5 is, oh, it looks like that she just renumbered them. Yay. Okay. So, basically when you get down to number 4 or number 5 for the agreed questions, that's really what that row number 14 was answering, was the wording of the notice itself intimidating, not the actual presence of the claim service. So I think one of the things we need to think about as we go through this and as we answer these charter questions is there's an overarching question about the service altogether, which includes the time period, which includes the fact that a notice is sent at all, which includes the NORN. And then there's also the part about does the actual writing and the verbiage of the notice inspire fear or confusion unnecessarily on the part of people that theoretically shouldn't be confused, while at the same time giving pause to people who really shouldn't be registering a domain name because it is violation of someone else's rights. So I think I'm not disagreeing with George's analysis, just suggesting that analysis really goes under bullet point number 5. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And I have George
Sure, Chris, but before I go to George, let me just note, there's a question in the chat for Rebecca, and I think Rebecca is only on audio. I'd like to just call it out. It's from Michael Graham. Rebecca, to what answers are you referring as showing that the notice was not understood? So I'm just reading that out. And then please, George Kirikos. If you would pause for a moment, let Rebecca answer the question, and we'll go to you. Thank you so much. Please, Rebecca.
Rebecca Tushnet, if you look at the group, the survey analysis group that was recruited outside of ICANN, so you look at the answers selecting what the meaning of the notice was, so what they understood the meaning of the notice was, you'll see that that basically half of the answers are they picked the distractor answers that give wrong or unhelpful answers as opposed to of what the meaning of the notice was, as opposed to half of the answers were essentially correct about what the notice was. And so, you know, half of the answers are wrong. And more to the point, they didn't understand what the notice was. So that is an indication that as to people who don't have previous experience with ICANN, who are just sort of ordinary potential registrants coming in off the street, the notice is not doing its job. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. George Kirikos, please.
Yeah, I just replied to Rebecca first. She was in the meeting late, but and so probably didn't see my analysis of the registrant Q5 tab. If she turns to that, half of those answers were clearly wrong because the survey said don't that we're only looking at UGTLDs, not legacy.com.org or country code top-level domains. But a lot of the answers were for, you know, .com, .org, and various country codes. So she's right. People weren't answering the survey correctly. And that's also consistent with what I wrote to the email list in terms of there being total lack of any anti-fraud mechanisms within the survey itself. So people are just answering the survey who are in the panel very quickly, presumably, to earn their 75 cents per survey. And there was, you know, very little quality control behind those results. In terms of the person before that, it was a lady from Amazon. I can't remember her name now. Christine. What Christine was talking about, I wholeheartedly agree that there should be some quantitative analysis with regards to the magnitude of some of these issues, and that is important for the, you know, in terms of, you know, whether to maintain the TMCH and the sunrise period and even the UDRP of the URS, because if the underlying problem, you know, cyber squatting and abuse in general was small to begin with, that would seem to imply that, you know, we didn't need these policies in the first place. Same thing, you know, if there's a small problem in the survey, not the survey, but in terms of people misunderstanding the notice, you know, the same metrics should be used in terms of, you know, whether to maintain these overall policies. Thank you.
Thank you, George. And I'll just put myself in queue. This is Julie Hedlund again from staff. And just noting that as to Christine's suggestion about how to proceed, of which there did seem to be support, we'd just like to ask subteam members to focus on whether or not or how the data answer the charter, the agreed refined charter questions. I think we might be getting a little bit of away from that, and jumping further ahead to actually coming up with recommendations, when the subteam really is, I think, at this point, just supposed to be seeing how the data answers the questions, and then that later will roll up into possible recommendations once we've completed this task. So we might be getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. And I see a couple of notes. I'm not going to read everything out from the chat, which I know you all can see, or at least for those not in the room, this will be published. But Griffin is just noting the chart is super useful, but I think we will need to do more to associate the data itself with the specific questions to which the data may relate. And I think that's correct, Griffin. Please, go ahead, Christine Drain.
Thanks. This is Christine for the transcript. I'm really sorry that I'm going to do this, Ariel, but and I love that you put the numbers in. But if you go back to the original agreed questions, they were basically formatted in 1 sub A sub B, 2 sub A sub B. If you could follow that numbering, I think that would be really helpful. That would really help that we're not part of the small team that sort of reformulated the questions. That would help other people understand that if you look at what's currently listed as agreed question 1, what's currently listed as 2 and 3 were actually subs to the number 1. And so as we're thinking about where does the data, where does our knowledge, where does our institutional learning fit in with these agreed questions so that we can get to some recommendations at the end of the day, I think leaving the sort of the numbering structure that we had originally will really help. And this is not meant at all to be a criticism of your work, Ariel, because it's fantastic. I just think it would really help if we could keep that same structure. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Christine. And Ariel has said in the chat, understood, Christine, I will check the original numbering and update column A. And Kathy Kleiman, please go ahead.
Yeah. This is Kathy. So I want to make an umbrella suggestion to our future sub-team chairs, that order might be interesting to think about here. Is actual and potential registrant response the right place to start a deep dive? We've got the questions, the agreed questions. I'm going to call them our agreed charter questions or our charter questions. We've got our charter questions that we need to answer. We've got a lot of data. Where do we start the deep dive? Is it with actual and potential registrants? Is it with trademark and brand owners? It might be with registries and registrars and starting on the technical side and seeing what technical problems we were having, are being had with trademark claims. So kind of as an umbrella question before next week is, you know, do we have to start here or is there an easier place to start? Maybe with a little less data and narrower questions. But I did want to say to staff, I think we are answering these questions. So to the extent that data is showing us, for example, is the trademark claim having its intended effect? And Rebecca's pointing out, maybe it's not, because we have people who are confused. I think we are seeing, we're not looking at the data in isolation. We're looking at the data as it applies to the questions that are looking us right in the face in column 1. So I do think we should be tracking that, because otherwise, you know, if we have to move as fast as we have to move, which is, you know, just a few weeks on all of this data, then I think we have to be tracking as much as possible, as quickly as possible. That's personal opinion, not as a co-chair. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Kathy. And this is Julie Hedlund. I'll put myself in the queue. And I'll note that we have 9 minutes left, and we do want to make sure that we wrap, I think, with at least 5 minutes to go so that we can allow people a quick break for those who are going to be joining the next call as well. So this is a question then, you know, following on to Kathy's question, I think, you know, the staff assumption that would be that we just, you know, go in the order that we started here with actual and potential registrant responses and then trademark and brand and so on. Staff would like to suggest, though, that I think if we're going to be able to proceed quickly on this, I think we're going to need to ask sub-team members to decide now where we're starting. And it seems that we have already started in actual and potential registrant responses, since we are already gathering some notes on the discussion here today, that we're going to need to ask sub-team members to do some homework, to actually then select some questions against which to compare the data, and to actually do some work on the list, ideally, leading up to next week's call, rather than just starting again and talking through questions on the call. I think we're probably not going to have be able to complete this work in 3 meetings if we're not doing any work intervening. So Cynthia is saying, so approaching the data by respondent group rather than the charter question. That's a really good question, Cynthia, and I think that's really the question that the sub-team needs to answer and that Kathy was leading at. And so let me ask this. Kathy, George is saying let's decide by Friday which sections we cover next week. Ideally, I think we really should decide, yeah, no later than Friday, if not sooner. And yes, Christine's noting, Cynthia, I think that's Kathy's broader point, and I agree, it's not a foregone conclusion. So, again, we have 6 minutes left, and I'm going to ask if any of the sub-team members have a suggestion on how to proceed at this point so that we can have some homework before next week's call. Mary's noting, as Julie is suggesting, staff hopes that the sub-team systematic review of the results, tying in to and focusing on each of the agreed charter questions, can demonstrate the validity or otherwise of the opinions and conclusions that people may hold based on individual reviews of the results. Let me pause there and see if any sub-team members have some suggestions for how what they want to pick up for next week's call. Okay, Cynthia saying we approached by question in the U.S. Sub-team, which worked particularly well. So that would mean taking each of the questions and then looking at the survey results as they apply across the various surveys, I think. But Christine Duran, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine. Yeah, just to put a fine point on it and summarize what I think I'm seeing in the chat. So a great question number one and its subparts, which are currently listed as 2 and 3, which are actually 1 sub A and 1 sub B, is one chunk of questions against which multiple surveys were written to try to answer or get some data towards. So my proposal would be to take question one and its subparts A and B, currently listed as 2 and 3. Everybody study those three questions. And then the data in the tabs called Actual Potential Respondents, Trademark and Brand Owners, Registries and Registrars. The rest of the tabs, as staff pointed out, is detail. Get into it or don't get into it. But study those three tabs with the intent of trying to answer one and then including sub A, sub B. I'm just going to throw that out there, and people can decide whether or not they think that's a good strategy. I think it is a big chunk of work, but if we're going to get this done in a reasonable amount of time, I think we have to commit the time.
Thank you very much, Christine. And Kathy's asking which tabs. So the tabs would be you take those three questions, well, question one and sub part A and B, and look against the tab with actual potential registrants, the trademark and brand owners, and the registry registrars, but not necessarily the following tabs that have all of the detail. Did I get that right, Christine? Yes, and I see Christine's written it in there as well. Thank you. Got it. And, okay, and yes, we'll go, Griffin, yes, actually that is what staff will capture as the action item for next time. And subparts A and B is actually going to be in the agreed questions column, Kathy. So right now what looks like what is questions 1, 2, and 3, actually questions 2 and 3 are subparts to question 1. Staff will be renumbering those. And I'm seeing that we have just 3 minutes now to the top of the hour. I'm going to suggest, again, this is Julie Hedder from staff, that we adjourn this call. Staff will capture the action items and the homework. And also the action item for folks to select a chair. And then let's adjourn this call, and in about 3 minutes, we'll start the next call, 2 minutes now. So hopefully those who are joining both can have a very quick break. And sorry about that. We'll try to give you time. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
And adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.